Pastor Gabriel started out this sermon series by telling us that we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. In the last three sermons, we have looked at the importance of friendship, romantic relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and keeping sexual boundaries in that particular relationship. We learned that all these relationships have tremendous influence on us. This morning, we are wrapping up our sermon series, and we will explore another type of relationship that also has long-lasting influence on us. And it certainly has made a tremendous impact in my life. I grew up in a fairly typical middle-class family in Hong Kong in the 80s. I lived with my parents and my two younger sisters. You can see right there in my photo. I was overall a very good kid. I didn't get into trouble. I listened to my parents. The only trouble that I've ever ran into was start dating my first girlfriend when I was in grade 7. I know, it's terrible. But the girl was chasing after me, okay? What can I say? You guys laugh? You don't believe that I was so cute and handsome back in grade 7? I can already see my wife there, like, she was like shaking her head already. Anyway, my father is a very typical Chinese father in that era. He is stern, and he spent most of his time at work, providing for us. Half of the time, he was not at home for dinner because he was engaged in social functions to advance his business. So overall, he didn't talk to us very much, and he rarely asked us how we were doing. In fact, I was actually afraid to speak to him about anything. So even though physically he was there, you can argue that I grew up without a strong presence of a father figure in my life. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and he took very good care of us, making sure we were well-fed, we go to a good school. And like a lot of parents at that time, they would use some of the traditional Chinese proverbs, such as this one, to encourage us to study hard. A book holds a house of gold. These proverbs mean that one can earn a good living by studying hard. So I study hard because my parents told me that's the only thing and the right thing to do. Other than that, there are other usual moral standards like do not steal, do not lie, but otherwise I was not given very much guidance growing up. So I naturally, I look at other people for some other directions or guidance. So when I run into relationship problems, I refer to this guy. Alan Tam. Those of you who don't know who Alan Tam is, he's probably the most successful and longest active Cantonese pop singer in Hong Kong. And I would often listen to his songs for advice on relationship. But most of his songs, the problems are, it's about breakups. So that was not very helpful for me because I'm trying to look, right? I'm looking for breakups. So while growing up, I was always very fearful as well because out of fear for my very stern father. So I look for answers somewhere else to overcome fear. And some of you may not know this, but other than his favorite line, may the force be with you, Master Yoda also gave some advice on fear. At the time, I found it to be a bit too philosophical. I was very simple-minded, and I just kind of, this is not really for me. I don't really like suffering anyway, so I just passed. So I keep looking for answers. But things get a bit more complicated. In 1985, my family immigrated to Canada. And we landed in Toronto. And at that time, after that, I saw my parents even less. So they kind of traveled between Toronto and Hong Kong, and now they become sort of like immigrant astronauts. And during that critical time, I was growing up, I had to face a new culture, a new language, a new form of life on my own. I was 16 years old at the time, and I started asking some really important questions. Probably as like some of you are asking right now. What should I do with my life? What should I do as a profession? What kind of girls do I want to date and marry? I long for answers to these really, really important questions. But the people around me at the time, who are mostly my classmates and friends, they weren't really able to answer those questions for me. So most of my peers at the time were just as lost as I was, and our conversation was rather shallow. We're just like, oh, is that new girl there? Oh, she was cute. And then the new guy there, he was handsome. Really, really shallow stuff. And looking back at that period of my time, I wish I had help and guidance when I was applying to university and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I wish at that time that I have someone to offer me some advice before I blindly got into a relationship that ended up in a breakup 4 years later. I wish someone had walked with me and to tell me how to deal with anger and fear inside of me that I've been building up all these years, waiting to consume the people around me. And I just kept wishing there would be a big brother, a father figure, who was going to show up in my life to give me some sort of direction. In other words, I was lost. But the worst part is, I probably didn't even know I was lost at the time, because there was no one around me to tell me that I was heading in the wrong direction. And I don't know if you feel the same way sometimes. Some of you are finishing high school and planning to go to university. That's probably been on your mind for a long time, and perhaps you have no idea where you want to study. Your parents tell you that you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you should be an accountant, but you really want to be something else. Maybe you're struggling with school and you wish there is someone who has been there to help you kind of turn things around. Maybe you want to get into a relationship with another person and somehow you feel that you really shouldn't. And you are at a crossroad and you just want someone to hear you out to tell you to go ahead or not. Maybe you're facing some really difficult situation and there seems to be no way out and you feel you are stuck. And wouldn't it be nice to have someone to give you a new perspective to get you out of that predicament? Maybe this morning you are here for the first time in church and you've been asking some tough questions about life and you've been hearing about this Jesus and you want to learn more about it and you wish there's someone here who can tell you more about Jesus and what he is all about. And maybe you have been coming to church for a long, long time. You've been coming to church, you're coming to youth fellowship, you grew up in a Christian family, but somehow you still cannot see how Jesus is relevant to you. Every week you come to church, it's same old, same old. Or maybe you're in a totally different life stage altogether, and you're struggling in your marriage. You're having problems with your kids. You're having relationship problems with your son, with your daughter. You're arguing all the time. You're yelling at each other all the time, and you're so ashamed to tell anyone about it. Do you feel so lost in life that you wish there's someone that you can trust and look up to that can offer you some words of wisdom or insight? Or someone that is not afraid to upset you and tell you what you're doing is wrong and that it's going to end up really bad for you? And I think we all need someone like that in our life, regardless of your life stage. And the case that I want to make this morning is that we can all benefit from having a mentor in our life. We are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Perhaps a mentor should be one of these five people we should spend more time with, someone who has been through what I'm going through right now, who knows me as who I am, and not afraid to tell me what I need to hear. Someone who is honest and trustworthy, someone who I look up to and I want to become one day. Someone that will show me the way and help me find my place in this world. This morning, I'm going to make a case using the real life story of a young man in the New Testament. He was a young Christian, and not only that, he was also a young Christian leader in the early days of the Christian church. And we will see how he's deeply impacted by the benefit of a mentor in his life, especially in his time of need. This is how the Bible introduces him. A disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So you can see, this young man, Timothy, is no small potato. He was well spoken by his peers and the people around him. He has traveled around on mission trips, telling people about Jesus and planting churches. In fact, he was leading the church in Ephesus at the time. But just like many of us now, he was facing some really, really tough challenges in his life. There was trouble brewing in the church. His leadership was being challenged and tested by false teachers at the time. So Timothy apparently faced people in his own congregation who refused to take him seriously because you were just a little kid. You were just a young man. So Timothy felt alone and lost. And he started to have doubt about his ability to lead the church. I'm not even a disciple. I cannot even say that I have met Jesus. I haven't even met Jesus. How do I convince people to believe a person that was dead and then came back to life after 3 days? So Timothy was desperate to get help. But at the time, there was no books on Christian leadership that he can read upon, and there was no TED Talks on YouTube that you can read on how to deal with difficult people, such as the false teachers. And the Bible that we know as of today does not even exist. But then, all of a sudden, Timothy thought of Paul. They have spent quite some time together, going around on mission trips, Timothy and Paul. They work closely together, planting churches. Over the years, they have established a very close relationship. And Paul was not just a longtime friend, but a mentor to Timothy as well. And Timothy was very sick about his mentor. Because at that time, Paul was jailed in Rome by the Roman Empire, and there were rumors that he would soon be executed. So Timothy dug back into his memory and recalled the first time Paul came to his hometown in Lystra, speaking boldly to people about Jesus. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat Paul and Barnabas and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Timothy still remembered vividly how Paul was so gifted in preaching the gospel. Paul was methodical, his argument was convincing, and his logic was flawless. Most importantly, Paul was fearless and passionate about telling people about Jesus and defending the Christian faith in the face of adversities. Oh, Paul, I wish you were here because you would know what to do. You would know how to handle these difficult people and false teachers. What would you do, Paul, in this case? What would you do? Then one day, Timothy received a letter that was sent all the way from a prison in Rome. He held that letter in his hand, and his hands trembled as he swiftly opened the letter, and the following is what Timothy read on that day. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Oh my gosh, it was a letter from Paul. I can't believe it. Paul is still alive. He still cares. He remembered me constantly in his prayers night and day. Paul still remembered me bawling my eyes out the last time we said goodbye. And by now, I imagine Timothy's eyes were already tearing up again. But Timothy wasted no time and continued to read as he was dying to hear what else Paul had to say. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. These sentences were a big shot of confidence that Timothy desperately needed, and he was getting from his mentor, Paul. What Paul is saying is this: Timothy, that sincere and genuine faith of yours is still in you. Remember the gift of God was given to you the day I lay my hands on you. Now, I want you to use that gift and let it grow like a small flame grows into a fire. This spirit that God has gave us does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. Wow, that was powerful. And Paul was just getting started. Later in the letter, he gave Timothy more practical advice and teachings. Timothy, having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, you know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. Paul knew exactly what Timothy was facing in the Ephesian church, so as a good mentor, he counseled Timothy on how to handle his opponents at the time. Timothy, listen to me. Stay away from those foolish and stupid arguments. They are no good. They will only get into bigger and bigger arguments. And you, as a servant of the Lord, you must not argue. I know it's not easy, but you must be kind to everyone. You must be a good teacher. You must be patient. You must gently teach those who don't even agree with you, because maybe God will let them change their hearts so that they can accept the truth. In the next part of the letter, Paul took a step further and used himself as an example for Timothy to follow. You, Timothy, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endure. What Paul is saying is, Timothy, you know all about me. You know what teaching I have because you have been with me all these years. You know how I live. You know my goal in life. You know my faith, my patience. And you know I would never stop trying just because things are going tough. You know about my persecutions and my sufferings. Yet, from them all, remember this: the Lord rescued me. So Timothy, follow my example and endure. I know times are tough right now, but I'm urging you to stand firm, continue to be faithful, just as I have been as an example for you to follow. And yes, the Lord will do the same and be there for you right where you are at this moment. Paul continues. Indeed, all who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As we can see from this letter, Paul is a good mentor because he's realistic and he gave Timothy sound advice. He did not sugarcoat bad things and told Timothy that everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. Do not worry. You should not worry. Everything is going to be okay. No, he pointed to the harsh reality that Timothy was facing at the time. Paul gave an accurate and honest assessment of Timothy's situation. He was not afraid to to upset Timothy because he knew that by doing so, he was not doing his apprentice any favors. But most importantly, Paul acted as a signpost and led Timothy back to his anchor, Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sin, and he was raised from the dead on the third day and is now sitting on the throne interceding for us. So Timothy, this is what matters the most, and don't you ever forget that. Timothy finished reading the letter, feeling again encouraged, and regained a sense of direction. And I imagine him probably rereading the letter numerous times, treasure it, and put it in a safe place, and pass it on. So that we, as modern-day Christians, we can learn from his life how important a mentor is. And I think this is a very precious lesson for all of us. God knows exactly what Timothy needs in his stage of life, and God put Paul as a mentor who cares about him, set an example where Timothy can follow, gives an honest and accurate advice that is relevant to his situation, and someone who would encourage and remind him what is the most important in the midst of his doubts and challenges, and to stand firm in Christ. God is good and faithful. And in my life, I experienced the same goodness and faithfulness of God when he put two mentors in my life that have shaped my life forever. The year was 1996, and it happened in a small college town in Iowa, in the States, where I went to study and receive my specialty training. You may ask, where is Iowa, or Ohio, or Idaho, whatever? Iowa is exactly in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the States, but it is in this nowhere where my life went somewhere. Because two mentors that I met there changed my life. And as a bonus, I met my wife in Iowa. And these two mentors forged such a core inside of me that would forever shape me as a Christian. They care for me, they set themselves an example for me to follow, they reminded me and they encouraged me and they gave me sound advice. Professionally, I met my mentor, Dr. Steve Aquilino. As my professor, his job was to make my life miserable. No, his job was to make me the best prosthodontist possible during the intensive 3 years of training. He worked us very hard. I saw patients during the day, and then in the evening, I had to go back to the school, to the lab, and do all the lab work and make all the false teeth, crowns, all that really, really interesting stuff. And all the steps that need to be checked by him and signed off by him, he looked at it and said, this is not up to standard, you have to start over again. And I did it for 7 days a week, 50 weeks in a year, for 3 years straight. No summer vacation, because vacation time, you were taking vacation, you are lazy. You're not working hard enough. So I still remember Steve in the first 6 months literally just tore me apart. Like literally, he tore me apart, but not in a malice kind of way. His only purpose is to have me unlearn what I've learned in dental school and teach me something new. In a way, just break me down and build me from the ground up again. He would make me repeat procedures over and over again until I perfected it. He taught me how to adjust the bite up to an accuracy of 8 microns, and that's 0.008 millimeter. And he was not just making this stuff up, because he never hesitated to sit down and show me how it's being done. He wouldn't let me say, here's a textbook, read it and come back tomorrow, you would be better. No, he sat there, spent time with me, and teach me how he's being done. He set himself as an example for us. He set the same high standard for his work and professionalism. And his only purpose is to break me down and make me a better dentist. And through this training, I find my confidence, not because I've learned everything there is to know, but because Steve actually taught me to be humble. And it's more important to know what you don't know. And there's always a better way and a higher standard to help our patients. So every day when I go to work these days, I hold myself to the same high standard that Steve had instilled in me. And I'm forever grateful for that. In fact, thousands of patients that I've helped is also grateful for his mentorship. It is because of Steve taking me on as his apprentice and graduate student, I would never have been able to help all these patients and to provide them with the highest standard of care possible. Another amazing mentor at the time that I met is Reverend Jason Chen, who at the time was the minister of the local church that I attended. He is the gentleman in the red t-shirt. Now, Reverend Chen is the most down-to-earth person I've ever met. And in fact, he's so humble and so down-to-earth that he insisted that we just call him Jason. So this is the first time ever, you know, I've called a minister, a reverend, just first name, Jason. He likes sports, so he would often play badminton and tennis together. But he's also very competitive, but he's such a gentle person overall. But the only time he ever yelled at me, guess what? Because I'm kind of lazy, right? There's a ball that hit over there too far away, I don't want to run. He literally would yell at me and say, "You gotta work harder." But overall, he's been really, really good to me. He'd take his time, have coffee with me, ask me about my family, my background, for the sake of understanding me better. So he can make suggestions how I can develop as a man emotionally and spiritually. He is an avid reader, and I've also enjoyed reading since then because of his encouragement and influence. He gave me this book on my birthday 21 years ago, where he wrote, "Blessings on your birthday. It is a real privilege to get to know you and to watch you grow spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally. Of all the devotional guys, this one has proven to be the most helpful to me this past year, and I hope it might also inspire you to draw near to God." To this day, I still keep this book on my desk for my devotion. And yes, I'm still inspired to pursue God more than 20 years later. And one of the major influences that Jason has on me is he pointed to me the idea of vocation in Reformed theology, where I can actually serve God in my secular profession as a prosthodontist. And looking back, I find this absolutely amazing that God would use two seemingly separate institutions, the church and academics, in a small town in Iowa, and merge them together through the tutelage of two mentors. And I would not have this clarity about my place in this world if it weren't for these two important mentors in my life. Throughout this morning, we've been talking as if finding a mentor is solely for the benefit of one person, you and me. But I'm hoping that I can make the argument that finding a mentor will achieve a greater good that is greater than just you. Originally, I went back to school because I want to be a specialist. I want to benefit for myself. I was curious. I want to be a better dentist. But through the influence of my two mentors, I can see clearly that God had called me to enrich and heal the lives of thousands of people through giving back their smile and function. Timothy's mentoring by Paul provide us a very, very powerful example of why mentorship is not just about Timothy. In the end, Paul's mentoring of Timothy has long-lasting effects of the Christians, not only in Ephesus, but the history of man and civilization. And we, today, we are on that receiving end of that mentorship as well. So I hope if you get anything out of this message from this morning at all, is that you have realized the value of having a mentor in your life, and that you will give finding a mentor relationship some serious thought. And I don't know what life stage you are in right now. I don't know what is God's timing for you, and I don't know what God's planning for you. Maybe you're just finishing high school, trying to enter university, trying to figure out what you want to do in your life. Maybe you just started a family, and this parenting thing is just driving you nuts. Maybe you have made many mistakes in your life, and you have given up on making any changes because you don't know how, and that you have given up for a long, long time. Maybe there are some of you who think you are too old. I'm too old to have a mentor. I just turned 50 last month, and look at me. I'm doing the impossible this morning, standing in front of all of you because Pastor Wilbur is willing to mentor someone like me in the preaching of his words. So in my mind, unless you're 100 years old, it's never too late to have a mentor in your life. Keep an open mind and accept this morning's message as an invitation from God. Maybe you just need a signpost or a mentor to kickstart you and point you in the right direction to turn your life around, to give you some new perspective. Maybe that is the breakthrough that you have been looking for. To end this morning's message, let me give you some practical tips on how to look for a mentor. First of all, this is not what you're going to do. This is what you don't want to do. After worship this morning, don't just go out there and grab the first person that you see and kneel down on one knee and pop the question, "Would you be my mentor?" That's not going to work, okay? You're gonna freak people out because people will think that you're going to ask them to marry you. No, don't do that. No one in the right mind would say yes to that. So we need to be a bit more subtle and have a strategy. First of all, starting off by observing and identifying people that you admire of the same sex. Maybe it's your pastors, maybe it's your ex-leader, or maybe your small group leader. Observe how they do things, the people that they hang around with, their family. Talk to them. What do they talk about? How do they talk? Get to know them a bit better. Be curious. Once you have identified that person, pray about it. Ask God for guidance. And most importantly, ask God for humility and the desire to grow. You must first realize you need help and guidance, and that you're willing to go into that relationship with a humble and open mind. You must be willing to take positive criticism, and sometimes those words are hard to swallow. Your ego might get hurt, but pray to God to prepare yourself to be an apprentice. And next, start with one issue. Identify one issue that is the most important to you and ask God to help you to identify that issue. And then talk to this person. Ask them to set up a time to have coffee. And the tip is, don't tell them that you have 100 issues in your life that you want to deal with. You will scare them away. Just start with that one issue. Let that person know, and this is very important, that they have your permission to speak freely and honestly. Tell them that you genuinely want to grow. And I think most mature Christian leader or mentor would be more than happy to sit down with you, to take an hour or two, and to hear you out about your struggle and the things you're most concerned with. And I think after the first or second meeting, you will probably have a pretty good idea whether that will develop into a long-term, fruitful mentoring relationship. And lastly, for those of you who have been a devoted follower of Christ and who have a few years of life experience, perhaps you have been blessed by a mentor in your life. Would you consider being a mentor to someone? I know it sounds kind of scary. You're already so busy. How can I squeeze an hour or 2 hours in my schedule? But looking back at the message this morning, you can actually make a huge impact in someone's life. Someone who have a very humble beginning, but perhaps if you're willing to offer that person an hour or two of your life, of your busy life, you might change a life. You might change many lives because this person has been changed by God through you. Would you be that signpost? Would you be that mentor? Would you be that special someone to point people to the one who make all these things possible? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because, let's face it, in the end, He is the ultimate mentor that anyone can have in their lives. Let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with some really important people in our lives. We thank you this morning for speaking to us through the life story of Timothy and Paul. I ask that you give us the wisdom and discernment to establish a mentor relationship in our lives. I ask that you would, in particular, take care of the young people among us, and you know each of their names. You know the challenges that they are going through. I ask that you speak to them and guide them through a mentor, that they will be drawn ever closer to you because of that. Because in the end, you are what matters most in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.